الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, there is a Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم يحشر أعداء الله إلى النار فهم يوزعون حتى إذا ما جاءوها شهد عليهم سمعهم وأبصارهم وجلودهم بما كانوا يعملون وقالوا لجلودهم لما شهدتم علينا قالوا أنطقنا الله الذي أنطق كل شيء وهو خلقكم أول مرة وإليه ترجعون وما كنتم تستترون أن يشهد عليكم سمعكم ولا أبصاركم ولا جلودكم ولكن ظننتم أن الله لا يعلم كثيرا مما تعملون وذلكم ظنكم الذي ظننتم بربكم أرداكم فأصبحتم من الخاسرين فإن يصبروا فالنار مثوى لهم وإن يستعتبوا فما هم من المعتبين وقيضنا لهم قرناء فزينوا لهم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم وحق عليهم القول في أمم قد خلت من قبلهم من الجن والإنس إنهم كانوا خاسرين صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته ويوم يحشر أعداء الله إلى النار فهم يوزعون And do not forget the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's enemies will be gathered towards the fire and restrained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this next ruku of Surah Hamim Sajda makes mention with regards to how those who disbelieved in him and those who disobeyed him will be dealt with on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that do not forget the day when Allah's enemies, meaning those who either rejected the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or those who did not obey the commands of Allah ta'ala, the disobedient slaves of Allah, they will be gathered and they will be herded towards the fire. Meaning just as a flock of sheep or a flock of animals, the shepherd takes the entire flock, the entire group from one place to another. So in this way the angels will be taking the inhabitants of Jahannam from one place towards the hellfire. And فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ they will be restrained. So they will be restrained, meaning that because there will be such a large group of people, there will be so many of them. So when a large group is traveling from one place to another, if some individuals are in front, there will be some in middle, some will be lagging behind. So you have to tell those who are in the front to wait, so the rest of the group can catch up. So the angels will be restraining those who are in the front, so that the remaining of the people can catch up with them. So one meaning of fahum yuza'un is that they will be restrained. Because of their large numbers, they will have to be restrained and controlled so that order is maintained. And a second commentary of fahum yuza'un is that they will be driven or pushed towards Jahannam. And this will be that place near Jahannam where their hisab and their reckoning will take place. So the disobedient servants of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, their reckoning will take place very close to the fire. This is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that at the time of these people's reckoning, there will be fire in front of them, there will be fire behind them, there will be fire on their right, fire on their left, fire above them, fire below them. So they are going to be reckoned now, and they are going to be reckoned by the fire. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says that hatta idha ma ja'uha, that this will continue until when they arrive, meaning when they come close to their Jahannam. Shahida alayhim sam'uhum wa abasaruhum wa juluduhum bima kanu ya'malun. Their ears, eyes, and skins will testify against them about what actions they did in the world. So Allah Ta'ala here is reminding us of that day when our accountability is going to take place. And every person will have to go through this moment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take hisab and reckoning of how we lived in this world. And it's something which each person has to always keep in his mind. If a person wants to be successful in life, the true success, what is the true success? Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That person who saves himself from the hellfire and who is granted entry into paradise, فَقَدْ فَازْ, then he has attained success. This is the true meaning of success. Every other definition of success is not the true definition of success. If a person feels, if I become a millionaire, then I can say I am successful. This is a deception. If somebody feels, if I become the prime minister, then I am successful. This is deception. Because no matter what you become, no matter how wealthy you become, no matter how influential you become, no matter what you achieve in life, if on the day of Qiyamah you are not given entry into paradise and you are from the dwellers of Jahannam, then you are a failure. And on the other hand, if you achieve nothing in this world, but on the day of Qiyamah Allah Ta'ala says that go into Jannah, then you have succeeded. This is why the verse ends, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. That this worldly life is nothing but deception. It's mata and it's ghurur. So what's mata? Mata is something which has no value. It has no value. I have explained in a previous lesson also the meaning of mata. That Allama Ismail rahimahullahu ta'ala, who was one of the linguists, an authority in the Arabic language. Another incident comes to mind regarding Imam Ismail, that once he was walking on the street, and he himself says that I saw a man, وَقَدْ بَلَغَ أُمْرُهُ مِئَةَ وَإِشْرِينَ سَنَةً. He had surpassed 120 years, meaning he was more than 120 years old. The Imam Ismail rahmatullahi alayhi says that I asked him that what's the secret that 120 and you're still so healthy? So for you and I, it would be every day I go to the gym, one apple a day keeps the doctor away. What did he say? He said, تَرَكْتُ الْحَسَدَ فَبَقِيتُ. I do not have in my heart jealousy for anybody. So because I have purified my heart from this ill trait of jealousy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me divine health. And in reality, if a person obeys Allah ta'ala, if he can make this his goal in life, that whatever I do, I am going to make sure I obey Allah and I don't disobey Allah. This obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a means and a secret to be granted a long life. And when a person reaches the latter portions of his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ, Allah ta'ala created you. ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ, then Allah ta'ala is going to give you death. So this is a given, that each person has been created by Allah, and a time will come when you will leave this world. But then Allah ta'ala says, وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ, that from amongst you there will be a group, there will be certain people, we will return them to a very weak age. We will return them to a state where they will have no ability and no faculties whatsoever. But the Quran says we will return them. So return them means that you are there before also. In other words, just as you were when you were a child, when you came in this world, you couldn't do nothing. And you are completely dependent upon your parents. So Allah Ta'ala says that from amongst you, there will be certain people, we will return them back to that state in the latter portions of their life. This is why you see that some people in their old age, there is no difference between them and a child. They are completely dependent upon somebody who has to take care of them 24/7. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ إِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Allah Ta'ala says that such becomes this person's condition, that after knowing so much, throughout his life he had acquired so much knowledge, so much information. Now he reaches a stage that he knows nothing. He forgets everything. Whether we call it dementia, whether you call it amnesia, this person completely, he doesn't know anything. You walk into the room and he will ask you, who are you? And 5 seconds later, he asks the same question again. Inna Allaha alimun qadir. Allah Ta'ala Father says, Allah is alim, the all-knowing, and qadir, the all-powerful. The all-powerful. Mufti Shafi'i Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi writes under the commentary of this ayah, that Allah Ta'ala is the all-powerful. There is an indication here that Allah Ta'ala is telling you and I that don't just think that this state is something that Allah Ta'ala can return a person to in his old age. Allah Ta'ala is saying he is the all-powerful, meaning that even whilst you are young, if Allah Ta'ala wishes, he can take all your faculties away from you. Even at the age of 20, if Allah Ta'ala wishes, he can decide that from today you will not be able to see. You will become paralyzed. You will not be able to hear. So whenever a person has the ability to do good, he should carry out the good. And whenever the thought comes to carry out evil, he should think to himself that what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time was to take away this ability and this limb of mine with which I am about to commit this sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this ability away and this limb remains paralyzed for the rest of my life. So obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person the ability to continue benefiting from his physical limbs even in the latter portions of his life. We find regarding certain individuals that even after surpassing the age of 100, during the month of Ramadan, they would stand on the musalla and lead the full 20 rakats of Tarawih Salah. After surpassing the age of 100. Something we find difficult in our youth, these people are doing even after the age of 100. Why? Because they looked after themselves. And looking after yourself means that from a spiritual aspect, you look after yourself. Otherwise, no amount of gym, no amount of healthy food will be able to benefit you in your old age. Because this health is in the eyes of, is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, regarding Allah ta'ala here is speaking about hisab, the day of accountability. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that لَن تَزُولَ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ خَمْسٍ. On the day of Qiyamah, no person will be able to move from his place until he is questioned with regards to five things. Number one, an umurihi fima afna. You will be questioned with regards to your entire life. How did you spend your life? Now, from the time you became baligh until the time you passed away, every single moment will be scrutinized. And the whole life story will be in front of you. The whole life story will be in front of you. We have discussed this in previous lessons also, so I do not wish to go into those details. Number two, وَأَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَى. Number two, you will be questioned with regards to your youth. So look, the youth is that time when a person can do so much. He has those abilities which he doesn't have when he becomes old. Likewise, it's in the youth that a person has those desires which he will not have later on in life. So this is the time, if a person uses his youth properly, then he can become extremely close to Allah Ta'ala. So close to Allah Ta'ala, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that this youth who spends his youth in the ibadah and in the worship of Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will grant him shade under his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. So you'll be questioned with regards to your youth. Number three, وَأَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَهُ. Here there are two questions. Two questions with regards to one's wealth. Where did you earn your wealth from and where did you spend your wealth? So again, every person has to make this intention that from today, I have to ensure that whatever money is coming in has to be halal. If we are earning it in a way which is not permissible, we are going to be questioned with regards to this on the day of Qiyamah. And number two, how did you spend this wealth? So you have to spend it also in halal ways, in halal means. What you purchase has to be halal. And when you spend, you have to ensure that you are not extravagant. Now, does it come under extravagance or does it not come under extravagance? This is something we will have to learn from the ulama. So we will have to ask them that I want to do this. Is it extravagance or is it not extravagance? So how do we earn our wealth? How do we spend our wealth? If we don't earn in a halal manner, there is going to be no barakah and no blessings in that wealth. We have to believe in this. Shaitan will always place this thought in our mind that you have this opportunity to make this profit of £1,000. How can you let go of it? Now, as a mu'min, this thought will also cross your mind, that it's not permissible. I know it's a great opportunity, but it's not permissible. Now this is the test. This is the test. If you go the haram way, somewhere along the lines, a time will come when you will see that Allah Ta'ala will deprive you of the blessings in that wealth. Some sort of calamity will take place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that in the previous nations there was a man. And this man, he used to sell milk. And when he used to sell milk, then he would add water to this milk. So in this way, he would deceive the customer and he would gain more revenue and more profit. Now, this is not permissible, that you are saying to someone that I am selling you pure milk, but you have added water to it. So one day, he was traveling by ship. And as he was traveling by ship, he had his money belt around his waist, in which all the gold coins and silver coins were. And he used to have a pet monkey. So he took his monkey with him also. Now, when monkeys decide to mess around and become mischievous, then it's very difficult. So this monkey was very obedient to him. But something happened, and out of the blue, this monkey took this money bag from this person and climbed up the sail. So now this man begins to sweat, and he begins to think that if this monkey throws this, this is all my money that I've earned. He's begging the monkey that please give it to me, please give it to me. And the monkey starts to make fun out of him. And then begins to take the coins out. And the monkey throws one coin in the ocean and throws one coin towards the man. Another coin in the ocean, another coin towards the man. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear to him that the money you earn in a halal manner, that money was given to you, and the extra water that you added, that money never belonged to you, so Allah Ta'ala made it go all in the water. And this is what will happen in life. If you earn in a haram manner, somewhere along the line you will lose that money. And even if you don't, even if nothing happens in this world, on the day of Qiyamah you're going to be questioned. So min ayna iktasabahu wa fima anfaqahu, and finally wa an ilmihi madha amila bih, you will be questioned with regards to your knowledge, how much did you practice upon. So whatever we know, whatever we learn, once we know it, once we've learnt it, it doesn't end there. Now we have to bring it into our lives. So coming back to today's lesson, Allah Ta'ala says, hatta idha ma ja'uha shahida alayhim sam'uhum, until when they arrive there, meaning Jahannam, their ears, eyes and skins will testify against them about what actions they did in the world. Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates a hadith reported by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi. He says that once we were sat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sat there. We the Sahaba were also sat when we saw that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. And after smiling, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the Sahaba that, do you know why I smiled? So they replied, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam, that Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that, let me inform you of something with regards to what will happen on the day of Qiyamah, which made me smile. And that is the dialogue which will take place between a slave and his Rabb. So a person will have a conversation with Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And in that conversation, this person, he will say to Allah that, "Oh my Rabb, did you not grant me protection from injustice?" Meaning that this is the day of reckoning now. But you are Allah. So there is no way that you can be unjust in the way that you reckon and take account of my deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply that, of course, most definitely, there is going to be no injustice. This court is full of justice. So the servant will say, he will say that, "I will not be satisfied with any evidence in the matter of my accountability except that some part of my own being stands up as witness." This is what he will say. He will say, "You are telling me that I lived my life like this. This book is saying I lived my life like this. The angels are saying, but that's all your team. There should be someone from my side also." So Allah Ta'ala will reply, "Fine. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba." Your own being is enough today to take your account. Your own being. And thereafter, what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seal this person's mouth. So he will not be able to speak with his tongue now. And Allah ta'ala will then say to the parts of his body that you speak. So this person, his own body parts will begin to speak. And his own body parts will begin to say that this is what we did. So he will be a witness against himself. So when his own body parts will begin to speak, then what will he say to his body parts? He will say, "Bu'adan," that may you be ruined. "Bu'adan lakunna wasuhkan," and may you be destroyed. "Fa'an kunna kuntu unadilu," whatever I had done in the world was only to make you comfortable. So I lived in the world so that you gain all these pleasures, and today you are speaking against ourselves and we are going to have to go into Jahannam now. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who mentions that when this person will come in the court of Allah, then his mouth will be sealed and his thigh will be called to speak. So a person's thigh will be called. And thereafter the thigh, its flesh and bones will give evidence of the deeds that this person carried out in the world. So even here from this verse we understand that Allah Ta'ala says that when they arrive there, their ears, their eyes and their skins will testify about what they did. In Surah Yasin Allah Ta'ala says, "Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim," that on the day of Qiyamah, we will seal their mouth, so the mouth will not be able to speak. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ, their hands will begin to speak. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ, and their feet and legs will begin to speak. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, regarding the actions that they carried out. And then a time will come when Allah Ta'ala will give the tongue the ability to speak. But the tongue will not be in this person's control. So the tongue will also say that I did this and I did this and I did this. But the tongue will have to say that which it actually did in the world. This person will not be able to make anything up. So this is the reality of the day of Qiyamah, that there is no way you will be able to save yourself, because your own body parts are going to speak and they are going to witness against you. So when this will happen, وَقَالُوا, these people, they will say, meaning that when their skins begin to testify to the evil acts that they had witnessed them doing, they will say, لِجُلُودِهِمْ, they will say to their skins, لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا, why do you testify against us? قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. So they will reply, Allah, who gives speech to everything, has enabled us to speak. وَهُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ It was He who created you the first time. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ And to Him is your return. Meaning, how can we hide anything from such a great being? We have no option but to speak the truth. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ أَن يَشْهَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ سَمْعُكُمْ Now, addressing these people on the day of Qiyamah, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say this, this next ayah is either Allah ta'ala who will say it, or it is the malaika, the angels, or it's the body parts of this person. There are three opinions as to who will say this. That وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ أَن يَشْهَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ سَمْعُكُمْ وَلَا أَبَصَارُكُمْ وَلَا جُلُودُكُمْ You did not hide your actions, little imagining that your ears, eyes and skins will testify against you. وَلَكِنْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِّمَّا تَعْلَمُونَ But you foolishly thought that Allah Ta'ala is unaware of most of the things that you do. Allama Shabbir Ahmad Uthmani Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes in his commentary under this verse that these people, when they would commit sins, they would hide from other people. So they would commit a sin, and whilst committing the sin, they would go into a place where nobody is watching them. And they would think to themselves that I am committing this sin in such a place where nobody is watching me. But at that time, what they didn't keep in their mind is all these other people are not watching me, but my very limbs are watching me who are going to be witness against me on the day of Qiyamah. So there is no place where a person can hide. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes that when your own body parts are going to be witnesses, when they are the CID, when they are the ones who are working for Allah Ta'ala, a criminal can commit a crime where there are no police. But when your own body parts are the police, then at that time you have to tell yourself that there is only one way, and that is that I have to obey Allah Ta'ala. Because disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just not possible when my own body parts are going to be witness against me. So, وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ Allama Baghawi says that this means that you are unable to hide. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ You are unable to hide. Why were you unable to hide? Because your ears, your eyes and your skins were with you. And they're the ones who are going to witness against you on the day of Qiyamah. So when you wanted to commit sins, you were unable to hide. And Imam Qatada says that وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ means تَذُنُّونَ that you didn't even think. At that time, you didn't even think to yourself that I'm committing this sin right now, but my very body parts are going to be witness against me on the day of Qiyamah. So وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ You did not hide, meaning you were unable to hide. Your actions, little imagining that your ears, eyes and skins will testify against you, as you now see them doing, meaning on the day of Qiyamah, you now see them that they are testifying against you. وَلَكِنْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِّمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ But you foolishly thought that Allah Ta'ala is unaware of most of the things you do. So there's two things. One is that you didn't keep this in mind that your body parts are going to witness against you and they are with you. And number two, you didn't even keep this in mind that Allah who is so great, He is watching everything I am doing and on the day of Qiyamah He is going to inform me that this is how you lived your life. Both of these thoughts you are oblivious of. This is when a person will commit a sin. So whenever the opportunity to commit a sin arises, then at that time you have to tell yourself that my Allah is watching me. And together with that, whether it's my body parts, whether it's my surroundings, they will all be witness against me on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that even the land on which you commit a sin, that land will speak against you. The walls will speak against you. The ceiling will speak against you. Whatever objects they are, Allah Ta'ala will give them the ability to speak and they will be witness against you. Therefore, a person is never alone when he is committing a sin. One more point to keep in mind here is that this does not mean that that person who sins in public is more better than that person who sins in seclusion. In fact, it's the other way around. The person who sins in seclusion, yes, he has become oblivious of Allah Ta'ala. Yes, he has become oblivious of this fact that his organs are going to be witness against him. He has done something very wrong. He should repent. But worse than this is that person who sins in public. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, "Kullu ummati mu'afan illa al-mujahirun." In my ummah, every person will be forgiven except for those who sin openly, who announce their sins. Why? Because the one who sins in public, it's as if he is saying that, I don't care what's wrong with me committing this sin. So he's willing to show at least the first person has shame. So he knows that what he is doing is wrong. He doesn't want others to see. The first one who sins in public is showing everyone that, look, I'm committing this sin. There's nothing wrong with it. And in this time of social media, this is one way many people commit sins. That they publicize what they are doing. So they're doing something wrong, and thereafter they're showing others also that, look, this is what I am doing. So you're publicizing the sin, and such people are not forgiven. So number one, you shouldn't commit a sin. And if you do commit a sin, that sin should remain a secret between you and Allah. And at the first given opportunity, you should repent and ensure that that sin is wiped out. Regarding such people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will call this person very close to him. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala will say that, do you remember on this day you committed this sin? He will say, yes Allah, I remember. Then Allah Ta'ala will say that, do you remember on this day you committed this sin? And he will say, yes, O Allah, I remember. And Allah Ta'ala will start informing him of his sins. Now inside, this person will start feeling that, I have no chance. Allah Ta'ala is listing so many sins, I'm definitely going into Jahannam. But then Allah Ta'ala will say to him that, did I let anyone else know that you committed this sin in the world? This person will say, no, O Allah, this remained a secret between me and you. I didn't inform anyone, even you didn't let this sin become exposed. So Allah Ta'ala will say, just as I kept it hidden in the world, I will also keep it hidden here on the day of Qiyamah, going to Jannah. So this is the benefit of keeping sins hidden. Now imagine if we've informed people, and Allah Ta'ala asks us that, did I let anyone know? How are you going to say no? Allah Ta'ala will say, I tried to hide it, but you showed everybody. So وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ, you did not hide, or you were unable to hide your actions, imagining that your ears, eyes and skins will testify against you, but you foolishly thought that Allah Ta'ala is unaware of most of the things you do. Under the commentary of this ayah, some of the commentators have also mentioned one hadith reported by Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu in the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that there were three men who once gathered by the Baytullah in Makkatul Mukarramah. Two of them were from the Qurayshi tribe and one was from the Thaqafi tribe. And according to some, two of them were Thaqafi and one was Qurayshi. And regarding them, the words in the hadith are that قَلِيلُ فِقْهِ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَكَثِيرُ شَحْمِ بُطُونِهِمْ. They were very foolish. So they were not people who had intellect. قَلِيلُ فِقْهِ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Their intelligence was very less. They possessed very less intelligence. وَكَثِيرُ شَحْمِ بُطُونِهِمْ. And they had a lot of fat on their stomachs. So this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described these people, these three people. And thereafter, he said that فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمْ. From amongst the three, one of them, he said, that do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to us when we speak? So whenever we say something in our lives, do you think Allah ta'ala can hear what we are saying? So فَقَالَ الْآخَرُ. The second one said, that my opinion is that Allah Ta'ala, if we speak aloud, then He can hear us. But if we speak quietly, then Allah Ta'ala cannot hear what we are saying. So upon this, the third person, he replied that, what are you talking about? If Allah Ta'ala can hear us when we speak aloud, then of course Allah Ta'ala can also hear us when we speak quietly also. So when this conversation took place from these three people, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions at that time Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse that وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ, that you are unable to hide, or you did not hide, أَيَّشْهَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ, your actions, little imagining that your ears, eyes and skins will testify against you. But you foolishly thought that Allah Ta'ala is unaware of most of the things that you do. In other words, Allah Ta'ala knows everything that we do. Allah Ta'ala can hear everything that we say. وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That was the perception, the idea that you held about your Rabb, which has destroyed, doomed you, and made you among the losers, meaning amongst the kuffar. So this perception that you had about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala is unaware of what we do in our lives. The thing that dooms a person, the thing that makes a person a failure in the akhirah, is this perception, that when he has this perception that my Allah does not know what I am doing. Because how is it possible that a person knows the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, how powerful Allah is, and he has this in his mind that my Allah is watching me right now. He has this in his mind that Allah has the power to do anything to me, even at this moment in time, and likewise in the hereafter also. If you have this in your mind, there is no way you will disobey Allah. And to go to this level that you become a kafir or a mushrik, like Allah Ta'ala here is speaking about the mushrikeen. So only that person will ascribe partners with Allah, who forgets this reality of how great Allah Ta'ala is, and that Allah Ta'ala is watching everything that he is doing. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that فَإِن يَصْبِرُوا فَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ وَإِن يَسْتَعْتِبُوا فَمَا هُمْ مِنَ الْمُعْتَبِينَ. That even if they exercise patience, it will be useless to them, because the fire shall still be their abode, meaning the final destination. And their position will be so unfortunate that even if they try to please Allah using whatever means they have, they will never be allowed to do so. So here Allah Ta'ala is now mentioning that after these people going to Jahannam, if a prisoner, an inmate, if he was to remain on good behavior, then many a times on account of good behavior, the sentence is decreased. And he is released from prison due to his good behavior. Likewise, if he does things to please the authorities, to please the prison guards, to please whoever is in charge, then there is an opportunity for him that by pleasing them, by doing things to please them, he may be released from there. Allah Ta'ala says, as far as Jahannam is concerned, this is not the time for good behavior now. You can be on your best behavior for thousands and thousands of years, Allah Ta'ala is not going to even look at you now. And you can try to do as many things to try and please Allah in Jahannam, but that is not going to help you anymore. So a very severe and a very stern warning has been mentioned here, which should strike fear in a person, that if I leave this world in a state that my ticket in Jahannam is booked, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that you are in Jahannam forever now, then there will be no opportunity in the Akhirah. The opportunity is in this world, that in this world you do something. Now, no matter how disobedient a person is, no matter how much sins he has committed, if just once sincerely he says that, oh Allah, forgive my past and from now I wish to live a better life, then everything will be forgiven. So that opportunity is now. Once you leave this world, there is no more opportunities. And finally, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that وَقَيَّضْنَا لَهُمْ قُرَنَاءَ. We have appointed companions. So these companions here refers to shayateen. We have appointed companions, shayateen. Lahum, for them, meaning for the kuffar. مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Who are with them all the time. Who beautify for them their present and past. فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Who beautify for them their present and past, meaning the evil actions, so that they continue sinning. وَحَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلُ فِي أُمَمٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. The decision shall be passed against them together with all the kuffar groups of man and jinn that have passed before them. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ. Verily, they are all losers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed a companion, meaning from the shayateen, for each and every person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned once to the Sahaba, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, that with each person, there is a shaytan. There is a shaytan, a devil. And there is also an angel by the name of Mulhim. So this angel by the name of Mulhim injects good thoughts into you. And the shaitan injects evil thoughts into you. This is why you will see in life, sometimes you feel inclined towards doing something good and sometimes you feel inclined towards doing something bad. So when you feel inclined towards doing something good, then you should know that this is a thought being injected in me from the angel Mulhim. And when the thought of doing something bad enters your mind, then you should know that this is from shaitan. So upon this, the Sahaba asked the O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that do you also have this shaitan with you? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that yes, but aslama, my shaitan has accepted Islam. So because of the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was so powerful that his particular shaitan had no choice but to accept Islam. And some muhaddithin say that it means aslamu, that I am protected from the evil thoughts of my shaitan. So the shaitan hasn't accepted Islam, but my shaitan can never inject evil thoughts into me. And why is this? The reason for this is, very quickly, Allah Ta'ala in Surah An-Nas indicates towards this, where Allah Ta'ala mentions two qualities of shaitan. يقول أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس. This shaitan that's with you, he's waswas also and he's khannas also. Waswas means that he does waswasa, he whispers evil thoughts into you. And khannas means he retreats, he moves back. So the shaitan that's with you, he's always in one of two conditions. Either he's whispering an evil thought into you, or either he retreats, he moves back. Now we want him to move back. We don't want him to whisper evil thoughts into you. When does he retreat? He retreats every time you engage in remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So either you remember Allah with your tongue or you remember Allah with your mind. This shaitan moves back. He's allergic to dhikrullah. So he moves back. But as soon as you become neglectful of Allah, he comes forward and he starts injecting evil thoughts again. Now the only only way to save yourself from his evil thoughts is that you remain engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Either with your tongue or with your heart and mind, you remember Allah. He can't inject evil thoughts into you. So why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Aslamu, I am protected from the evil thoughts of my shaitan. Because when you are engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, this shaitan cannot inject evil thoughts into you. And Aisha radiallahu anha says, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhkuru Allah Ta'ala fi kulli ahyanihi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered Allah Ta'ala at all times. Now when he's remembering Allah Ta'ala at all times, there's not a single moment when shaitan has the opportunity to inject an evil thought. So aslamu, I am protected from his evil thoughts. Even when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to relieve himself, then when he would leave the lavatory, the dua which we read is Gufranak, O Allah, we seek your forgiveness. So some muhaddithin mentioned the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, I seek your forgiveness, is he would be repenting that, O Allah, I was unable to remember you or engage in your dhikr, because it's not permissible to engage in dhikr in the toilet. But some muhaddithin mention that the reason he would say this is that, O Allah, I am seeking your forgiveness, that with my tongue I did not remember you because it's not permissible, but his heart and mind would still be remembering Allah. So he would say that, O Allah, I was remembering you with my heart and mind in a place where I was not supposed to. So Gufranak, O Allah, forgive me. So look, even in that place, he is still remembering Allah. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be fast asleep, when he would wake up, Aisha radiallahu anha says that he performed 2 rakat salah. So I asked that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you just woke up from your sleep, you performed 2 rakat salah, you didn't perform wudu. So upon this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that, Ya Aisha, inna aynayatana mani wa la yanamu qalbi. O Aisha, my eyes sleep, but my heart does not sleep. Even in sleep, my heart remains connected to Allah Ta'ala. And I know what's happening, so I don't need to perform wudu. So look, at all times, his heart was connected to Allah. At the time of fear, his heart is connected to Allah. He's in the cave with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now each person knows at a time of fear, the enemy is there. Your mind will go to all sorts of places. Let's phone the police. Let's go ask, that person will help us. He may be able to help us. But when the connection is with Allah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that, I said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the enemy has reached the mountain, the cave. If they were to just look down, then they will see us. And the announcement has been made in Makkah that anybody finds Muhammad dead or alive, the reward is 100 camels. They just have to look down and they will see us. Now at that time of fear, the first thing which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is that, Ma dhannuka ya Aba Bakrin. O Abu Bakr, what is your thought li'ithnaini regarding those two people, Allahu thalithuhuma, with whom the third is Allah. So the thought goes straight to Allah Ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting under the tree, Ad-Da'thur comes with the sword and he places the sword on the throat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that, who is going to save you from me? Mayyam na'uka minni ya Muhammad. Straight away Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah. And he says this Allah with such conviction that Da'thur's hand begins to shake. He has the upper hand, he has the sword in his hand. But his hand begins to shake and his hand falls to the ground. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts the sword, places it on his throat and says, now who's going to save you from me? So he has no answer. So he says that, be somebody who holds the sword in a good manner. In other words, do not kill me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do you have any inclination towards accepting Islam? He says, no, I have no inclination. Now look, this propaganda, this false propaganda that Islam was spread by the sword. So this incident is one of many incidents which is proof that Islam was not spread by the sword. Because if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished, he could have killed him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, if you don't have any inclination towards Islam, fine. Go back to your people. He goes back to his people, and after going back to his people, he says to his people, I have just come back from such a man, I have not seen such a person. And I am inviting you towards Islam, even I am accepting Islam, and even you invite Islam. And the entire clan accepted Islam. So anyway, engaging in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves a person from the evil thoughts of shaitan. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to take our deen seriously. If we take our deen seriously, then we will have plans, we will think, we will ponder, we will be concerned that how can I become an obedient servant of Allah? For this, we will try to learn the deen. After learning the deen, we will try and practice upon the deen. Before doing anything, we will question ourselves that is this right or is this wrong? When you have this concern, then you will practice upon the deen, and when you go into the akhirah, you will be from the people of paradise. Otherwise, as we have seen in this ruku, that if a person leaves this world and he's a disobedient servant of Allah Ta'ala, then the hereafter will be a very difficult place for such individuals. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I apologize for going a few minutes over the time. Brothers are requested to prepare themselves for Maghrib Salah. Jazakallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر
سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله